Again, thankful for each one of you that's chosen to join us this morning. Good to see each one of you. We're living in a time of uncertainty and fear, aren't we? Most of the things that we've come to rely on have been shaken. Things that we often all thought, I thought, you thought, was very stable, proved not to be as stable. There's been threats to our health, threats to our livelihood with this pandemic. We've got problems in our nation, our government. We've got problems in our society with moral values. We've got problems in our churches, and a lot of things are shaken. Not only that, but we also still have to contend with all the difficulties and discouragements in our own personal life. There are a lot of things we don't have answer for. Amen? In fact, many don't see much hope or any answer for what ails us. So many today I talk to seem resigned to a dark future, a future without hope. Hope has become a rare commodity even among Christians. Hope to a large extent has really been lost. But hope is necessary. Hope is powerful. Hope is what sustains our perseverance through difficult times. The hope of something better ahead. Hope is what inspires our courage to continue to battle. Hope is essential to our faith and trust in God. And I want to help us this morning. I know I've covered some familiar ground the last few weeks, and we're going to keep plowing in the same area because I believe it's where we need help. And that is that we need hope. Not only do we need hope, but we have a hope. We don't have an answer to all these situations. But I'm going to tell you, there is an answer to all these situations. God has an answer to everything that we're worried about, everything that we face, and what ails us. In fact, if people would just respond to God, the future can be very bright. Amen? Well, I'm going to tell you, let's look into God's Word. I hope by the end of this you can see that too, that if people would respond in the right way to God, the future can be bright. Not only does it depend on people, though, our God is still in control. I know forces of evil and evil people seem very strong, but our God is still in control. Psalm 62 for our text this morning. First two verses of the 62nd Psalm. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. We have a rock. Solid ground when everything else is shaking. And I like the end of that. He says, I shall not be greatly moved. Or another translation says, greatly shaken. Or another one says, severely shaken. You know, these things do shake us. They do affect us. But we don't need to be greatly shaken or greatly moved. We have a hope. And that hope is God. That hope is God and God alone. I'll begin with a warning, though. Unless God is able to awaken us and turn us, the down spiral of evil is inevitable. That's the nature of sin and evil. There ain't no government program, there ain't no human effort that's going to change that. That is the nature of sin and evil. And not only that, but we're contending with a real and living God. We're contending with a real and living God who intervenes in His creation. And part of that intervention is in bringing judgment on evil. In fact, if you were here with us last week, I believe we are currently experiencing a judgment from God. Now, I don't believe this is a judgment under destruction. It may be, but I don't think it is. I believe it's a judgment allowed by God to awaken us. Some today view the situation as utterly hopeless, though. But that leaves God out of the picture. It leaves who God is out of the picture. God is able to do what we need done. I mentioned a few weeks ago on Palm Sunday, but God has all power. I want this impressed on our minds who God really is, because that's our hope, that's our rock, that's our foundation. We need a firm grip in our mind, not just the words, not just the thoughts, but a realization of who God really is. God has all power. He's not limited in any way. He has all power. He has all spiritual power. God is able to awaken people to spiritual reality. He awoke you and me, right? He was able to find us, get a hold of us, and awaken our minds to what our need was. God's still able by His Spirit to do that. The Spirit of God can speak and convince people of truth and reality. We desperately need to see people awaken today, both in and out of the church. Awaken to spiritual reality, the truth about God. And our words alone will not convince people of the truth. We need God, but God is able. He's able to speak to people. When we look around, evil seems so strong, so in control. I see it everywhere. And yet God has all power. God has all spiritual power. Amen? Satan and his demons are subject to God. Mark 1:34, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Satan and his demons are subject to the power of God. They're on a leash that God holds. Mark 1:39, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Luke 11:20, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Matthew 9:2, and behold, they brought him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore you think evil in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy own house. God has all spiritual power. All of evil is subject to God, ultimately. God not only has all spiritual power, He has all physical power. Nothing is impossible with God. God's not bound by the laws of nature. Luke 1:37, with God nothing will be shall be impossible. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Think about this. Who God is. He's a creator. God created everything that is. From nothing. God created everything that is. All matter, all energy. God created everything. Therefore, all the powers of the universe are under His control. He's not bound by any of the laws of nature. Now, for the most part, He allows the laws of nature to rule and to cause creation and the universe to operate as it should. But God's not bound by that. He's above and beyond all that. God's caused the sun to stand still. In fact, to go backwards. You know that's not possible scientifically, right? But God's not bound by the laws of science. God preserved ones from the fiery furnace, from the mouths of lions. He gave victory to only a handful of men, 300 men, over an army of 135,000. He caused food to fall out of the sky for 40 years, every day except Sunday, Sabbath, rather. He caused water to come out of a rock. He caused flies and locusts and other living creatures to do His will. He caused oil and meal to spontaneously multiply, both for Elijah and for the prophet's widow. He caused the sea to stand up on its edge. He's raised the dead. He's healed the sick. He caused money to be in the mouth of a fish and for fish to fill the nets to overflowing. Everything is subject to God's control. Jesus walked on the waters. The winds and the waves obeyed His command. Matthew 8:23, when He was entered into the ship, His disciples followed Him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And the disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, why are you fearful, of you little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and seas, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Not only did Jesus have control over the winds and waves, he had control and power over all diseases. Read Matthew the 8th chapter. He healed diseases of every kind. God has all power. He has all physical power. He has all spiritual power. Nothing is beyond what he's able to do. Get that firmly grasped in our minds. Nothing is impossible with God. We look around and we see the forces of evil and we see everything going on, and everything looks impossible to us because it is. But it's not impossible with God. God also has all wisdom and knowledge. All wisdom and knowledge. He knows everything there is to know, both the past, the present, the future. He knows the immensity of our universe. He knows the details of our creation. There's nothing that can be known that he doesn't already know. He knows every detail about everything that has existed. He knows every detail about everything that ever happened. He knows what's going on now. He knows everything that'll happen in the future. There's nothing that can be known that he doesn't know. Nothing has taken him by surprise. Nothing has caught him unprepared or unaware. Not only does God know everything that exists, God also knows the intents and purposes and thoughts of people's hearts. Matthew 9 and 4. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" God knows people's purpose and plans. He knows their thoughts. He knows their intents. Not only does he know everything, he has all wisdom. Wisdom's knowing what is right, what ought to be done. God is wise in his plans and purposes. God is wise in his actions. Perfectly wise. Amen? God also has a purpose. We can have hope because God has a purpose and a plan in this world. God didn't just create the world, set it in place, and then react to what people do. Some people seem to think that's what God did. He created the world, he created man, and because of their free will, he had to sit back and wait for them to do stuff and then react to it. But God already knew what was going to happen in the end, from the beginning. Nothing has taken God by surprise. When God created this world, he had a plan. He has a purpose and a plan for this world that extends back before creation. Because he knows the end from the beginning, he can plan and carry out those plans. God's purpose in the creation of this world was to have a relationship, a voluntary love with beings created in his image. In his image means they could relate to him. God is a spirit, so it doesn't mean the way we're shaped physically. It means in our thinking, in our mind, in our reasoning, in our capacity to love, in our capacity to understand, in our capacity to know good from evil. God created us in his image, for the purpose of having fellowship with us, to have a relationship of voluntary love. And in order for this love to be voluntary, it has to be voluntary, right? People have to have a free choice. If they don't have, there is no love without a choice and a choosing. God, in his infinite wisdom, devised a plan and a place for this to happen. He created a perfect place for these beings created in his image. And he placed them there in the garden. But God knew. He knew that sin was going to enter into his perfect creation by the choices of his created people. And before creation ever began, the plan of salvation was devised. It was a plan that dealt with the guilt of sin, a plan that dealt with the power of sin, a plan that showed his love and his holiness. And God embarked on a plan for this world to save to himself the most people possible. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God's desire is that no one would be lost. God's desire is that everyone would come into a voluntary relationship of love and trust with Him. He knows, and we know by His Word, that isn't going to happen, that not everybody will. But that's God's desire. And so He's working to save the most people possible. God will punish those who do not respond to His love, those who continue selfishly in defiance of God. But that isn't His primary plan. Ezekiel 33:11, saying to them, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. Why will ye die, O house of Israel?" God will punish. He has been clear on that in His Word. There is a punishment laid out for those who persist in their rebellion against God. But that isn't His primary plan. God, in His infinite wisdom and power, is carrying out that plan to save all whom He can. All the events of life He is using. That doesn't mean He directly wills every event of life, but He does allow events. And in everything, God is using that to accomplish His plan of salvation for as many as possible. Not only does God have a plan for the world, He has a purpose and a plan for you and me. His plan, ultimately, is to bring us home to heaven. And God is actively working to help us in the midst of an evil and sinful world. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Well, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Amen. God is doing everything permissible, everything morally permissible, to help you make heaven your home. Now, God's ultimate purpose is to bring us home to heaven. But God truly does care about what's happening in the world. God truly cares about what's happening in the church. God truly cares about what's happening in your life and my life. God really loves us. I mean, it's not just words. God really loves us. Think of the person whom you love the most. I'll tell you what, God loves you more. He said, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" If He was willing for His own Son to come and die in our stead, that we might be saved, do you think He'd hold back any of the trivial things that are truly necessary? God cares about every detail of my life. He cares about every detail of your life. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not. You're more value than many sparrows. That's Luke 12:6-7. God takes note of everything happening in His creation. There's a lot of little sparrows out right now. Julie has out a bird feeder, and I mean they come and clean it out. They are a lot of them and very active. But God notices even when one of them dies. God even knows how many hairs are on your head. Now, you may know generally if you have a bunch or a few, but God knows exactly how many. God knows all the details about us, the important details and even the comparatively unimportant details. God is active. God does what is right all the time. God does what is perfectly right, what is good, what is holy, what is just, what is fair. God doesn't arbitrarily delay. God does on time, in His perfect time, what should be. Luke 18:7 says, "Shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them?" I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Even though it may take a long time, God answers as quick as it's right to answer. God's compassion is real. Psalms 103 and 13, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we're formed. He remembers that we're dust." God truly is a compassionate and loving God. I want to remind us again this morning, in this dark day, we still have hope. That hope is God and God alone. God can miraculously sustain us through the rough times, through the tough times, if necessary. God fed the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. Dropped food out of heaven every day. 40 years, even the shoes didn't wear out. God fed Elijah using a bird. And when that dried up and the stream dried up, He fed Elijah with a little scoop of meal and a small amount of oil, day after day after day. Not only that, He protected Elijah. There was ones out looking for Him, and He was right under their noses. And He protected them till it was in God's time. Things can look hopeless, but our God's not limited. God can change things in a day. You know the story of Elisha and the Syrians' siege. 2 Kings 7:1, "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And Elisha said, Behold, you'll see it with thine eyes, but you shall not eat thereof." This is a desperate time. So desperate they resorted to eating their children. That's how desperate it was under the siege. And then Elijah said, about this time tomorrow, when they came for him, he said, hey, about this time tomorrow, food's going to be cheap. 2 Kings 7:15, and they went after them. Well, this is, you know the story. The lepers outside the gate got up, went out to the camp of the Syrians, because they said, hey, if we just sit out here, we're going to die. There ain't no food. And if we go to the Syrians, the worst they can do is kill us. So they said, why don't we just go try? And they went there and found everybody's gone, had fled. And they went back and told the king. And they went back down to the camp, and it was as they had said. And the 15th verse, they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spoke unto the king when the king came down to him. It came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. God took an impossible, desperate situation, completely changed it in the day. When we have come to an end of ourselves, and I tell you what, some of the events that we're going through are shaking all the things that we depend on except God. When we truly see that God can be trusted and depended on in every situation, I pray that our trust and hope in Him wells up. That we have courage, we have the perseverance, first of all, to go through what we need to go through. But then we have the courage to go forward for the Lord in this time, and that our trust and faith in God would remain strong. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Don't let the events we're experiencing shake you. Or at least not too much. You've got to shake us a little bit, don't we? Not be greatly shaken. But allow them to awaken us. Allow them to awaken you. Begin to pray and seek God. Look for encouragement in God's Word. God's Word is as sure as God is. We looked a little bit this morning how sure God is. Trusting. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. We're His. He's watching over us, whether we live or die. Amen? Whether we live or die, ultimately our hope is heaven. I keep reminding us of that, but this life is short. We're looking at tops maybe 100 years. For most of us, it's going to be 60 to 80 years. That's what most of us are going to experience in this life. But we have an eternity. You know, we could say billions and billions of years, but that doesn't even take it in. We're promised a perfect recreated body. In a perfect place for that body, where there is no more sin, no more evil, no more getting sick, no more getting old, no more dying, no more evil of any kind. That's our real hope. That's our ultimate hope. And that hope ought to also sustain us. The object of that hope, of course, is future. The object of hope is always future, right? The object of hope is always something in the future. But the experience of hope is present. And when we have true hope, we have present power, because hope is very powerful. Amen? I pray God help you. I don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. As I said, I believe we're in the midst of God's allowed this pandemic as a judgment to awaken us. Not to destruction, but a judgment to awakening. And I pray it has that effect on those around us. But I pray it has that effect on us. And I pray, and we've been on the same theme for a few weeks here, because I want it firmly implanted in our minds. Our God is in control. Our God is good. He's holy. He's just. He's kind. He can do what needs done. He is concerned. We've chattered about this evil in our world for a while. We've known, in theory, for a while, God was not pleased. Well, God's beginning to show some of His displeasure. And I hope it's an awakening to us. Because if it is, it'll prove that brighter days are ahead. Now, I don't know what the future holds for us individually. I don't know what the future holds for America. But I do know what the future holds in a broad sense. And that is, God will accomplish His purposes. There is not a post-Christian era in this world. God will accomplish His purposes, and He alone will call an end to this world when He has accomplished His purposes. I pray God help us. Take courage, take faith, take strength. Our God is able, and we have hope. In a dark time, we can have hope of a bright future, because we know God and because of who God is. Amen? May God bless each one of you.